Hello, I'm Jeremy Kay, and I'm the father of two young children at Westside Waldorf School in Pacific Palisades in Southern California. Today is December the 3rd, 2018, and I'm delighted to be joined by Patty Herman, who was the founder of the first Westside Waldorf School, and we're now going to hear a bit from Patty. Patty, welcome. Tell us a bit about where you were in life when you got the idea to establish the school.
So I basically had two children, my three-year-old son, Jerry, and a newborn, Bernard. I got involved with finding out about the school because I was a Little H League leader, and it happened that the leader who was in charge of our area was very involved with Waldorf education. Her name was Gail Blair, and had her children at the Northridge Waldorf School. She spoke really highly of Waldorf education. I started to want to learn more about it. She had a study group at her home in Northridge, and a lot of the parents that were involved in our particular Santa Monica Westside La Leche League group became seriously interested in having a school.
So what were the next steps for you in terms of establishing the school?
Well, I knew there was a Waldorf school in Northridge, and some of our parents actually decided to lift off their beautiful footing in Santa Monica. Elizabeth Seward moved to the Northridge area, and we had two other families move. And I discovered that a good portion of the families in Northridge lived on the west side and decided to move to the valley just for the school. I thought, wow, we should have a school here in our area that reflects what our values are here on the west side, and I felt a little bit more diverse. We were looking to create a student body that reflected not just one particular kind of culture, but just really all the vast cultures that are in the Santa Monica area, which Santa Monica is really diverse. We have people from all kinds of backgrounds, even like First Peoples that were here. We really wanted a school reflecting our area, and not just people who decided, oh, we're gonna like move to what I considered to be the valley on the other side of that hill.
So you got together with some like-minded people. Tell us how you actually set the school up and how it was funded and where and when did this happen?
So began the idea to create something on the west side really quickly emerged into a playgroup. And we hired a nanny who was trained in Waldorf education to come to my house. And with about 6 to 8 children, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from like basically 9 to 1, she came and I took all the toys out of my house that weren't appropriate. No media, no television, everything. We started making toys. The fathers and mothers after the school hours, we got chopped down tree branches and we polished natural wood and we started making dolls and we started knitting things and we bought beeswax and we bought all the little wooden toys so that the children could really have a great Waldorf experience. Plus all the artwork, the paints, everything that's required to create a really healthy Waldorf playgroup. But we had children from newborns to basically about 5 or 6 years old. And it just kept growing. We had once a month, Waldorf, what is a Waldorf school? What is Waldorf education? I literally just put notices up at the library, put notices where there would be children, word of mouth. It seemed to create a big interest. And I started getting people from other Waldorf schools, especially Highland Hall, coming to speak to us at some of these events. We had Eurythmy performances downtown and in workspaces. It was a very, very exciting time. People were really interested in alternative education. And not so much dissatisfaction with public school, but looking deeper into what they wanted for their child. And Waldorf is very unique. I think if you're listening to this, you know that, wow, a Waldorf school looks very different than any other school that you've ever seen. It might be that pictures look the same, like, you know, that the children are drawing something from the class teacher. And so you come into the classroom and you see all these pictures the same, and you realize, wait a minute, masters, to become a master, you have to like draw from the masters. And then when you have those skills down, you can then bring your own heart and soul into it. That really appealed to me, just in how all the colors reflect certain temperaments. these things just really lit up the imagination of all the people that were listening to our talks. And we very quickly went from these play groups to like, wait, we're ready to find funding for a school. But at the same time, I started to study Rudolf Steiner, and I understood to create a healthy school required a healthy background in the philosophy of the school. So I sought out anthroposophists in the West Side and found that there were individuals involved in sociology, not in education necessarily. I found a banker, I found a person who studied sociology, I found a few people that were a businessman, and we formed the original board of directors with me as the chief executive officer, and we created the paperwork to create the nonprofit foundation, and we had fundraising events. But each of the directors, we put in substantial sums of money. Our goal was to combine our parent initiative with, which were just parents. Some didn't want to really learn too much about Waldorf education, and some really did. But most of them were looking for the beauty, what was behind it, taking away this rushed pace to get kids to, you know, very quickly amass an intellectual ability without their heart into it. So we wanted to focus on the beauty of what the hands and the heart can do, but eventually have the person develop their mind skills at the right time. And Rudolf Steiner had a very clear understanding of how to make that happen.
Yeah, and Rudolf Steiner, of course, is the late 19th, early 20th century Austrian philosopher, social reformer, on whose principles the school was founded. And I should say that, of course, 2019 is the centenary of Waldorf education. Just tell us where the school was that you set up, and when did it launch?
So it was by 1988, we had a substantial sum of money, and I had lived on Pearl Street. Our house was on Pearl Street in Santa Monica, and about down the street, several blocks away, there was a church that I knew the pastor of, and it was empty. It was only being used on Sundays, and I thought, wow, this is a great place to really have a school. Pastor was totally willing to go for it. The community took a little bit of, it took about a good, over almost a year to get all of the Santa Monica City Council on board with allowing us to get a conditional use permit and use the land for a school. But once we got the neighbors on board and we had some funding, we had a really strong parent body through our, it was many years of our kind of nanny group, you might call it. We created a class of 12 children initially with a teacher. Joan Fox was our initial teacher, and she was a parent at Highland Hall, a really gifted kindergarten teacher. And we really quickly grew. We ended up having, by the end of that year, we had three solid kindergarten groupings in three different rooms, but they did a lot of shared activity. Within a couple of years, we realized we needed to create the first grade. Most of us, myself included, I did not open the school just for me. I was hoping my 3-year-old would be able to go when it was time, but we didn't open fast enough. He was born in 1980, so he ended up doing the commute. We had a nice group of parents actually that commuted out to Highland Hall. My husband very dutifully drove in the morning. I picked up in the afternoon, and kids stayed at my house because I had that nice Waldorf environment. They could do not really homework, but kind of like additional work. So the school rapidly grew. We actually even had an anthroposophical architecture design the inside of the school. And of course, we painted all the walls, the appropriate colors for the kindergarten and the first grade. We renovated a garage to become the first grade. And then we actually ended up taking over some of the next door where the church had its kind of community room. That was where we were doing eurythmy and other, like the gymnastics. We had even the gymnastics that was done. It was quite an exciting time.
And you've touched on this, but can you just elaborate a little on what aspects of the Waldorf philosophy really attracted you? I thought that this would be a good environment to create for children.
So for me personally, I love the arts, and I love, who doesn't love picking up a natural piece of wood and smelling it and feeling it and realizing that this was once a living thing. I think for a child to have that sensitivity, that something was really cared for, made just for them, and still left unformed so who they were as an individual could be brought into it, versus a toy that, you know, we see out there that we might have picked up. Not, you know, it's plastic. It doesn't have that touch of life in it. That really appealed to me personally, and it definitely appealed to the people that are kind of natural folk, the Venice community, the Santa Monica community, people that had that heart into it, that looked deep enough to see that, wow, this is something that children, the child inside of me, like, I wish I had this education for myself. I wish that I didn't have to be forced to like read these boring textbooks. I'm gonna make my own book. I'll keep it the rest of my life. And I can see how I progressed as an individual. And I definitely saw that with my children. My older son went all the way to fifth grade at Highland Hall. And then when the school opened, my now 35-year-old was able to be in the first class of the kindergarten. And now my 32-year-old was there for several years. My second child, actually, I didn't get the first grade in time for him, so we did drive out to Highland Hall with the two kids. And my daughter, when first grade was time to come, my husband and I actually decided we would shift things because of just our circumstance, and our children ended up going to the public school in Santa Monica, which we actually chose to live in Santa Monica because the public school there has a world-renowned music program. Both of us were musicians. And just to touch briefly, the transition was really, really easy for my daughter and my older child. My middle son really, really, really loved the Waldorf school, so he had a little bit of a challenging time, but it's worked out really well for him now. Now that he's 35.
Great.
They're all really successful. If you want to know, my older one is a civil engineer. He works for AECOM, which is one of the largest engineering firms in the world. He had no trouble getting into college at all, no trouble doing well in high school, integrated. He was able to take those basic skills. By the way, math is taught in the Waldorf School, all, you know, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, all kind of done at the same time. He excelled in math. And he cute little story, when he was learning about the number one in the Waldorf School, he very quickly caught on and said, you know, one is really the biggest number in the world. Why is that? Well, everything's contained in one. It's whole. And I thought, wow, that's so profound. So he's like now a civil engineer. His projects are the Port of LA and building train tracks, which he liked to do. Even in the Waldorf School, he had little train tracks, but they weren't formed at that time. There were like pretend tracks that he made. And my second son, he was in film, the film industry. Now he works as an accountant. He's becoming a CPA, studying his exam. He's switched gears, but they're both involved in music and art. They still knit to this day. They each have a new little, I have two little grandchildren from my daughter, who's 32 and went to the Waldorf kindergarten. She became an attorney, so she did quite well for herself too. But my two older sons have knit for their little nieces, my little grandchildren, lots of things already, and they're teaching them how to knit too. So, you know, that those skills, like when you're nervous with your hands, why pick up a stupid, you know, little toy that you could buy? Let's just get the knitting needles going, and it causes quite a sensation to see them knitting.
That sounds great. Patty, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.